The following program is presented by the Nerdy Show Podcast Network, geeky programming for all nerds across the multiverse. All Nerdy Show programming is made possible by A Comic Shop, Orlando's number one comic shop and nerd destination, and with the generous support of listeners like you. For more Nerdy Show podcasts, community forums, and learn how you can support this and other Nerdy Show programming, visit nerdyshow.com.
Welcome to Flame On. I am Brian. I am here with some amazing creators of comic books that I love, and I think you guys are going to love it too. We have on the Skype line, we have Dan Parent.
Hello.
And we have Fernando Ruiz.
Hi.
Now, you guys listeners, I should clarify because we're talking, you listeners may have seen their work before in such places as Boom, Image, Dark Horse, in the professional world, and of course, if you're a big Archie fan, you've seen their work all over Archie Comics for, what, the last, I don't know, 20 years or so?
Yeah, it's been 28 for me.
21 for me.
Oh, so there you go. So if you've ever seen an Archie comic, either in the grocery store or in your comic book store, you have seen their work, even if you didn't know it. Thank you guys so much for being here.
Oh, our pleasure.
Thanks for having us.
Absolutely. So longtime listeners know we've talked to Dan before back probably about almost 2 years ago now about Kevin Keller, which is an Arch character that is near and dear to our gay listeners hearts, being like the openly gay Archie character, which is so awesome. But today we're really going to focus on a new project you guys are doing together that is outside of the Archie brand called Die Kitty Die.
Mm-hmm.
And yep. I would love to start with this. Just what made you guys decide to start an independent outside of any other studio? What made you decide to strike out on your own and do this project?
Well, you know, well, a big part of it was we wanted to do something together, mm-hmm. you know, and really the best avenue for that is to create it yourself.
Yeah,
is it, you know, we're doing it ourselves, so there's no restrictions, no editorial interference. You know, it's just us. So it's doing a project we always wanted to do, mm-hmm. and just working together on it.
Yeah, we're like splitting up the art and the story, and it's, you know, we have total freedom, which is really nice, and we're bringing in you know, like different friends of ours and artists, and you know, to work with us. People that we think that can contribute to the project. And, you know, we just, you know, in the last few months, we wrote up a storyline, and we wrote the first issue, and we, you know, we drew enough pages to show people what it's about. And, you know, of course, you know, we're doing it through Kickstarter, which is the place to go now to start new projects.
Yeah. I wanted to ask you about that.
Sure.
With Kickstarter, and we will get to talking about the actual project itself. Like, I'm not,
sure.
I have this method to my madness. Did you guys have any trepidation about doing Kickstarter or any like encouragement after? I know Archie tried to do that Kickstarter for their relaunch. Did that play into your plans at all? Did that change your plans at all? How did that affect you guys?
Well, the Kickstarter, Archie's Kickstarter didn't really have much to do with ours. I mean, we were, I think, you know, you're always a little nervous before you start a Kickstarter because it's a lot of work. It's a lot of work in building the site and a lot of work in building your rewards. And you know, you really have to think everything through financially. And fortunately we had, help with the project from Giselle Lagasse, who does, Ménage à Trois, this really great, web comic. So she has been really right there with us, helping us and showing us how to like map out rewards. And fortunately, you know, she's through her trial and error, we've been able to, you know, learn from her. And her Kickstarter campaign was fantastic. I mean, she, you know, they launched their campaign earlier this year, and I think they were, you know, their goal was about like 25,000 or 28,000, something like that. And They went up to like 164 grand. I mean, she just did fantastic.
And I was always, I was always hoping for the best. You know, you hope you can succeed when you start out something like this. But back to the original question, I was pretty sure we could do it better than Archie did.
Well, I mean, certainly there have been many Kickstarter successes that I've followed in the comic sphere. And, you know, some have been a little controversial because for whatever reason, the creators decided, no, we're not going to fund the deliverable. We're going to fund the idea of the project and we're going to develop the project. When you guys went into this, I mean, I assume you probably learned from some of those lessons and went, you know what? We've done that. We're working on that a lot already. What we need to fund and really use as the launching pad is the publishing costs, which are exorbitant. So, I mean, where did you guys balance that, I guess, tipping point, or where did you put that line where you're like, okay, we're going to do this much just on our own, and then now we're going to use the Kickstarter platform to get the rest of the way?
Well, we you know, had the storyline pretty much mapped out. And fortunately with Fernando and I, you know, we can write and draw and do a lot of the, and I, you know, we can do a lot of the digital stuff ourselves, you know, we don't have to hire other people. But you know, we really spelled out clearly, you know, what the money's being spent on at the level that we're at, which is 25,000, to launch the project. It's enough money to print the books we would need to print, do all the rewards, and pay the people who are helping us. We're not paying ourselves at this point. You know, we'll pay ourselves later on down the road. But this is an amount that will give us the time and the money to launch it properly. And we've allowed ourselves we really put a lot into it. The books will come out on time. They will. The rewards will go out on time. And we think Renato and I have got a pretty good track record of deadlines with our deadlines. So it's all very feasible. And, you know, we went over a few things and there was a few things, you know, like Giselle helped us with, like, you know, you shouldn't do this. You should, you know, focus on this. You know, make sure you add in your shipping costs because that alone can kill you if you don't calculate your shipping costs properly. We think we've got a pretty clear estimate and vision for how the money is going to be spent.
We did make a 25,000 may sound like a lot to some people, but when you take into account all the expenses that are going into this, because we're doing four issues and a trade, you know, it really isn't a lot of money to play with. But above all else, you know, the first rule of Kickstarter is make your goal attainable.
Yes.
So we wanted to figure that we were pretty confident that we could hit. But, you know, I'm very surprised we got as far as we did in such a short amount of time. That's really gratifying. You know, a lot of people have really been with us. So that's we're very appreciative of that.
Yeah, I mean, I was going to say, I was saying earlier when I got in there today, because, you know, I had heard about it obviously from Dan pretty much when it launched. And when I finally got around to backing it, which is I think what happens a lot of times, it's like, oh, yeah, I got to do that. I got to do that. And then the clock is ticking and you go, oh, gosh, I got to remember to sit down and put my credit card. So when I finally did.
Yeah, we have had to remind a few people, like, well, might want to donate before we hit our goal.
Well, yeah, I mean,
point is to hit the goal.
I was thrilled to see you guys, I think, are what, like 75, almost 80% funded?
Oh, we're 95%. Oh,
even better. There you go. You guys have been out for what, a week?
A week.
At this time?
Yeah, a week today.
A week today.
Yeah, when we record, and it's actually going to be really close, we're gonna be releasing on a Friday, as we always do, and so this is actually just the Monday before. So, I mean, that's awesome, and you guys gave yourself – I think you really found that right balance, like you were saying, to make your goal attainable. Now, I want to talk about the project itself because it is very interesting, and you guys – your art is so iconic and has so many connotations. First, before we get into anything like that – what was the elevator pitch, or what was the thing that you, the genesis of this idea to make Die Kitty Die?
Well, I mean, the first thing we had talked about was, you know, we are comic book fans and we, you know, are fans of the industry and, you know, we talk about what things are happening in comics in general. And, you know, there's this, you know, a lot of the industry has changed in a lot of ways where companies, you know, there's a lot more stunts nowadays. They kill off characters. There's these multi-part epics that, you know, you have to buy like 40 issues to read a one story. So we kind of go back to the old school of, you know, when comic books were just kind of fun and simple. But we were talking about the we like the idea of, you know, a comic book character being killed off or a company doing that. So we just took it to the next level. And, you know, the story is about, you know, this character Kitty, whose books aren't selling anymore. And she's like a decades long character, and the company wants to kill her off. So the trouble is, you know, how do you kill a witch? Because the character Kitty is a witch.
She's a witch in real life.
Because in our world, Kitty is a real character. So the comic characters in our story are also real. They also exist amongst the other people.
And so this was the sort of the starting point with your styles. I mean, the title alone to me evokes Faster Kitty. Is it Faster Pussycat Kill Kill? So like,
yep.
Is there an aesthetic that you're like, or even like a, I don't know, a reference, or is there any kind of thing that you're sort of drawing from, or was it just sort of an odd, happy coincidence?
Well, I think we're kind of like doing, you know, we're kind of looking at what we like in comics, and you know, the fun part of this Kitty universe is she's part of a comic book company that's been producing comics for years, but hers is like the only one left. So we go back and we go through the history of all the characters that they've produced over the years. So you'll see like little references to like, you know, some superhero stuff and Harvey Comics. And we're just kind of taking in, you know, we'll make up our own superheroes, and we can pretty much just create any character we want. And we can also like decide whether, you know, which characters are going to try and off Kitty, which characters are going to try and side with her. And then we could like go back and make up stories about the whole world, the whole universe that exists for the Kitty comics.
Do you see this as a sort of a satire then, or is it more like just a playful pastiche with these other sort of not properties? Because I'm sure you're not showing, you know, whatever. But like, is it meant to sort of evoke those fond memories of that kind of thing, or are you sort of turning it on its head and sort of doing that, you know, satire of such as, you know, whatever character? I mean, where's the line there with like satire versus reverently honoring?
Well, I think it's part satire, and I think it's part honoring what we like in comics, and then part of it's, you know, will be a little bit of an adventure story, and a lot of comedy too. You know, we're not taking it so seriously. But we're just, you know, I guess it's like a little bit of a mishmash of a lot of that.
Yeah, there's definite homages to a lot of the stuff that we like will pop up in the story. You'll see some familiar themes, but, you know, it's its own story. And it is, like Dan said, it's adventure with humor, lots of humor. And it's a sexy story, too, because Kitty is hot.
Yep. Now, I did want to talk about that because, you know, Dan posts, you know, religiously, anytime he goes to a show, he posts the awesome sketches that he does. And a lot of people really like that classic sort of pinup sort of look with the hourglass figure and the sort of heaving chest female form. And like when I was seeing this art come out for Die Kitty Die, it evoked that same imagery that I'm, you know, I'm a fan of, certainly even as a gay man, I'm a huge fan of that, you know, sort of aesthetic. I didn't know how much that was playing into this sort of idea of Kitty, if she is sort of a pinup, but I mean, it sounds like that's kind of what you're doing.
Yeah.
I think that was there from the beginning. I think it was one of the first things we agreed upon.
Right. Right. Yeah. Kitty's got to be, you know, a knockout. And, you know, we were talking about, like, you know, what we liked as a model. And we, you know, I guess there's like a little bit of Anne Margaret.
Yeah.
There's a little bit of like, well, a lot of Christina Hendricks.
Oh, very
she,
good.
She popped up a lot. And, so yeah. And that's, you know, you want to have eye catching characters, and I think we're just kind of kicking it up a notch from what we do at Archie, because obviously if you've seen Kitty so far, she's a little more rounded out so to say, fleshed out than some of like the Archie characters, because the Archie characters are teenagers. You can only, you can only do so much.
So I got to ask this, because I mean, this certainly is something I'm sure you've had people either say or ask or whatever. It almost seems like that the origin of Kitty comes out of your experiences at Archie and sort of like maybe some of the frustrations you guys might have that working with a character like Josie from the Josie and the Pussycats or Sabrina, that you can only go so far with those characters. And this is like, hey, let's do this thing where we don't have that constraint. We can tell whatever story we want with those kind of archetypes.
Yeah. I mean, you know, like you said, yeah, you summed it up pretty well. There are, you know, limitations in you know, and even though, you know, I love, you know, doing working on Archie stuff, this, you know, she's an adult character. So first of all, you know, you can do a lot more with a character who's over 21. And yeah, we have total freedom. The total freedom to do what we want with all these characters.
That goes back to what we were saying before about, you know, why we wanted to do this ourselves, you know, and why, you know, we can do whatever we want, you know. We don't have to hold back as far as, you know, anything like the sexiness of the character or, you know, anything she might do or say.
Yeah, I mean, and it's nice to have that familiar iconography and sort of that feel of things that we're used to. And especially if you know a lot of the 60s and sort of the swinging era aesthetic, like that was an adult aesthetic that sort of got turned more into a cartoonish thing. I remember like album art from like Esquivel and some other artists, and they went for that sort of look.
Oh yeah.
Like that was an adult thing. It wasn't a kid's thing, but the sort of the cartoon culture got appropriated. I mean, the fact that Pink Panther movies had like cartoon openings, those were adult movies. They weren't kids movies,
right.
But it got appropriated by like children's entertainment. And that became like, now people watch cartoons. I think it's not an adult thing. Although I think Adult Swim and other things are bringing that back around. But So let me ask you this, with this work, this project, I know your publishing like entity is Atomic Press.
Astro Comics.
Sorry about that. Yeah, remember the logo, and it was really that awesome retro. I forget, it was like a rocket ship or like a space age.
It's like a robot.
Oh, like a robot. Right. Yeah. That classic, you know, retro 60s era sort of thing. Now, do you guys envision this as sort of a new brand that you can bring other creators to, or this will be your thing to sort of use for future projects, or is it just sort of a thing to have there as a placeholder? Like where do you see this sort of going?
I mean, all of the above. I mean, it would be great if this is the beginning of doing our own books, but you know, I wouldn't be averse to doing other books that, you know, even if we weren't, you know, directly, you know, drawing or writing it, you know, you never know. Never know. I mean, we certainly aren't. There's no shortage of ideas. And, you know, I've talked to other people about pitches for books, and it's just a matter of where to bring it to get published. But if we're publishing our own, then that's one shortcut.
It's great if we could keep this going and do, you know, more Kitty stories and, you know, other projects that we both have wanted to do. And you know, like you said, we could bring other people. We have a bunch of creative friends who also have ideas for projects. So it'd be great if we could just keep Astro Comics going.
Yeah.
Its own label.
Mm-hmm.
Now I know on the Kickstarter, you mentioned a couple artists that have already signed on to do pinups or in one case, the cover. I know for a fact, and this comes maybe out of Dan's relationship, I know you work with Jay Bone previously.
Yeah.
And then for the cover, I was thrilled, and it makes so much sense to see Darwin Cook signing on. That's awesome.
Yeah. I mean, that was a real thrill. You know, I mean, he's like my top two or three artists that work in comics. And, with him, I've known him for probably close to a decade now. And I just see him at conventions. He's an Archie fan. His wife's a big Archie fan, so that helps. and we just had like a friendship that goes back and forth. So I just sent him a letter, not expecting him to really have the time or wanting to do this, but he wrote back to me and he said, yeah, because he'd be happy to do the cover to the trade. So that worked out really well. And so we just jumped right on that.
And who are the other artists that I can't remember off the top? I know you had a couple others that have signed on.
Well, Giselle Lagasse, who does Ménage à Trois, she's going to be doing some stuff for us. We did some stuff for her on her Kickstarter, and she's going to be doing – she already did a really, really, really nice pinup that will probably be a print. And if we keep continuing on, because we do want to keep the Kickstarter – we want to keep the funds going so we can add more and more things to the book. She'll do a story. Then we got Jason Bone, Jay Bone, who has done the inks, and he's doing artwork too, the pinups. And he wants to do he's going to do some fashion pages, which I'm sure will be really cool. Because comics need more fashion pages. They don't have that anymore. and then we got Phil Jimenez is going to do something.
That's right.
And Glenn Hansen.
Oh, nice.
Who he's working on two things, he told me. So I'm waiting for him to unveil one, but he's going to do a new kitty and a retro kitty.
Oh, neat.
So yeah, and then we may add a few more. Yeah, so it's great that people who are really well known in the industry, come out and want to be part of it.
Now, do you guys? I know so both of you are Kubert School graduates, and if I'm not wrong, both of you have or are currently teaching at Kubert off and on.
Fernando does.
Oh, Fernando does. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Dan's taught there before too.
I did. Yeah.
With that,
I don't have the teaching chops that Fernando has.
with that sort of, I would hope certainly though with the obviously the fraternity of sorts that comes out of being from the Kubert School, but also being an occasional or active instructor, you probably have a lot of networking with the up and coming artists who are still coming out of there. I mean, have you been able to sort of work any of that relationship out, or is that just something that you graduate there and you're all in the they're in the industry? It's you're going to see them, you're going to talk to them, you're going to know about their work. I mean, how much has that helped you sort of develop this out?
Oh, tremendously. When you're a QB from the Kubert School, you're part of a pretty tight community. Generations of students, they're always interacting. It's a small industry still, despite all the years. I've been teaching at the school now. This is my 20th year, so I have a ton of students all out there across the industry, and a lot of them have pledged, and I'm very grateful for that. They've been really good that way. And a lot of them, this past weekend I was at a convention with a bunch of the students, and they a lot of them were giving me their own fan art for Kitty. So that was great. I'll be posting that soon. And, there's a lot of talent there that we could draw on, too. If we need colorists and anything else, letterers and anything else, those guys – they better know how to put it together a comic book by now.
Yeah.
Now, doing it all yourself, it's like you said, it's a huge undertaking, but it's also liberating. You've talked about how you guys are sort of swapping, I guess, story and art. Are you going to do like one artist per book or different, like split up one, I'm sorry, issue, split up pages and then like just share writing? Or do you guys do sort of like a swapping Marvel style? Like how do you guys collaborate to put these together?
Well, on the first issue, we sort of just kind of did it by chapter. We did it like I did the first part, and we just kind of split it up randomly. But we don't really have I guess it's just whatever we feel like doing.
For the most part, I think I like the chapter format, kind of like the old Lee and Kirby Fantastic Fours or like some of the longer Harvey stories. Mm. And the chapter format really lets us divide the work fairly evenly. We both wrote the script for the first issue, and with chapters we can divide the art chores evenly. We're each doing 10 pages in the first issue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but the stories are 20 pages per issue, so we've got 80 pages total. That's four issues.
So and then,
It'll probably be about 100 pages altogether when you add in all the extras, like the extra pinups and pages. So it's roughly 100 pages.
Now,
which is why when you say 25,000 sounds like a lot, but when it's 100 pages of art that's newly being created, not that much.
I think people in the industry are so isolated from the cost of the production because most your comic book readers only see the sticker price on the issue. They don't even know any of the creators' page rates or the production costs or anything else. So it's all very sort of abstracted and hidden. So right. Yeah, I know that other Kickstarter projects have had to sort of explain the economy or the economics of production so that people go, oh, okay, this is why it costs, you know, X. But what I did like about your Kickstarter specifically, I mean, whether it was you guys just instinct or your people advising you, you hit all the right price points. I mean, you always want to have those PDF digital distribution, which, you know, ultimately it's no production cost. It's just your time, you know, and that cost. But then, you know, all the way up to my favorite was for the elite angel investors out there. You got your $1,000 day at New York Comic Con.
Yes.
We came up with that one ourselves, actually.
We did.
I mean, it's exhausting.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just saying that having been now to New York Comic Con twice, like a day with you guys running around all the stuff that you guys do in addition to hanging out, like that's a pretty great package. That's a lot of fun.
And you get all the other stuff that comes before it.
And that's a huge thing, like, too.
You get artwork and books and all that prints and all the other stuff too. So yeah, we think it's a good, you know, we think the rewards are pretty good. You know, we try to give people a good amount for their money. You know, as from having, you know, purchased into Kickstarters before too, you know, you gotta make it worth people's money, make it worth their time and money.
Yeah. And I mean, it's one of those things where you never know if you're going to get a lot of cheap people who just want to get like the issue or whatever, or you're going to get people who really want those unique, individual, personalized things. I bought into a Kickstarter from a friend of mine over at Comic Book Bears, and, you know, I'm just trying to support him. I was like, yeah, I'll do. Yeah, of course. But like, you know, one of his levels was writing a character, you know, drawing a character of the person of the backer into the thing. And I was like, you know what? I was going to give you money anyway. Sure, go for it. Like, you see all that variety of stuff, and that's what makes Kickstarter such a great platform, I think, for arts type projects, is you can really tailor it to a lot of different levels of customers.
Yeah, oh yeah. And they've been all over the map too. I mean, we've sold a lot of like $100 packages. That seems to be a big number. And, you know, for that amount they get, you know, original sketches, a commission, books, art cards, prints. I mean, it's quite a bit. We're gonna be very busy this winter packaging this stuff up.
Yeah, right. No, that is a good price point. And, you know, with the holidays right around the corner, it's a great gift. You know, I mean,
we'll be pushing that very soon, the whole holiday.
So now I have to dip into your, so that's coming, and you guys are thinking what, like mid to late next year, is that when the target releases?
No, earlier than that.
Oh, earlier?
Well, yeah. The PDFs will start coming out in February.
Oh, okay, cool.
And then, you know, we're talking like, you know, like pretty much close to monthly, you know, through the spring, you know, February, March, April, May, what, you know, around like that. And then the trade, we'd like to have that out by July.
Oh, wow. That's great.
Maybe even June, because it'd be nice to be, we want to really have it for like Comic-Con.
Of course. Of course. Now, given that's coming out and you guys are, I'm sure, hot and heavy on that, back to the Archie realm that you guys, I mean, certainly everyone hopefully knows of you there. What do you guys have coming up? I know, Dan, we talked a little bit at New York Comic Con about some of the stuff with Kevin. Is that any closer to coming out, or is that still sort of hanging out in the back?
It's just sort of like, it's still kind of just there. I'm just trying to like get a date from them, you know, about committing to it. And like the art's done. Jason and I have done the first book. But you know, it's just a matter of sort of just like waiting and figuring out what they're going to do with it.
Okay.
And, so in the meantime, that's why you know, one of the reasons we're doing Kitty, just to sort of fill in the void.
They have something to do.
Yeah. I mean, not that there's not, we're still working on the classic stuff at Archie. There's, you know, it's still work there, but, the timing is really good for this because, we're working on the classic stuff, but this is just sort of just another, really creative outlet for us to really, really go crazy.
Certainly, you've had projects with Archie, up till recently, like with the Sharknado, and then Fernando with the Predator stuff. Like, those kind of projects, they seem like they kind of let you go a little further with Archie than they had previously done much with. But I get the impression, I'm feeling that there's still, with their relaunch, with their focus on, like, the new Archie relaunch and the Jughead and all the other stuff, that it may not have as many of those sort of more classic things in the pipeline, unless it is just in that digest format. Is that kind of a fair assessment, or?
Well, pretty much there's, the classic Archie is now in the digests only. Like, you're not going to see any more 32 page books in the classic style, unless they, a couple years down the road decide to do that. But right now they're focused on 32 pagers with the new style. So that limits us because, as far as doing any, 32 page mini series, and we could do some cool stuff in the digest books, but unless there's another, another Predator type of thing or a Sharknado, or another Archie meets, some other thing, it won't be in the 32. So I think, it's nice. This is a 32 page format basically. So I really like that format.
It gives you enough room to really tell the whole story, but also even break it up, like you said, into that chapter format. Is that kind of how you?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
And, yeah. And I just think it's a good format. I think I like the idea of, four book issues. I like the idea of them being put together in a trade. It's nice to be able to plan it all out ahead of time. So it won't be just like four random issues thrown into a trade. It's really like one long cohesive story too.
And then, so that's kind of where Dan and Fernando, what do you have in the pipeline, or do you have anything other than Kitty, or are you sort of doing more classic stuff?
No, I'm still doing the classic stuff that's the new classic Archie stuff that's appearing in the digest. I'm doing a lot of those, doing a lot of covers. I'm also doing artwork for Giselle, who's been our patron saint throughout all this. For her Eerie Cuties webcomic. So that, I'm thrilled to be doing that. That's been a lot of fun. I've done some artwork already as part of her Kickstarter. But now she, we're continuing and she's giving me more stories. So I'm doing that.
That's great. And where can they find that? I'll put it in the show notes as well, but what's the Eerie Cuties and the threesome one?
Well, it's all under Pixie Tricks Comics.
Pixie
right?
Tricks.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, Pixie Tricks. PIXIETRIX.
Okay, yep. Great. And then Dan, they can find your stuff at what? DanParent.com. Is that right?
DanParent.com. I'm doing stuff for, I'll be doing some stuff for Pixie Tricks too.
Okay.
I'm going to be working on some stories for her too. So, DanParent.com. And of course, we also have, now we've got a Kitty Die website. Fernando, you got your website.
Yeah. FernandoRuizEverybody.com. And everyone, make sure you friend Die Kitty Die on Facebook.
Oh, yeah.
There.
Yeah, we've had a lot of following on. Yeah, the Facebook page has gotten a lot of traction. And of course, go to Kickstarter and, search Die Kitty Die.
Yeah, and it's super easy to find.
It's very easy to find.
Yeah, there's nothing else like it in terms of just the search term, which is great too because it makes it unique. Yeah, I've had no problem getting other people signing on for this. I mean, everyone's really excited about this project. I think they really are looking forward to seeing something fun and a little more adult. I mean, it doesn't have to be crazy, but something, more than what that you've been able to do so far in the Archie confines. So this is great.
Yeah, it gives us a lot of freedom, and like you said, it's a little more adult. I mean, we're not going crazy, but if one of the characters wants to say shit, they can say it. And we don't have to worry, and you can have a little subtle nudity, it's a book that teenagers or young people could still enjoy, but I would say it's not for like 7 or 8 year olds.
Just don't put out in the kids section, local retailers, and you should be good. You should be good. It's not going to be like Sex Criminals or anything where, you have to really keep it on the top shelf, I think.
Right.
Well, thank you guys so much for sitting down. I'm really, like I said, I'm really excited. I mean, I backed it. I know a few other of my my comic book podcast types are all excited about this. So thank you guys
so much.
Congratulations on, I mean, what is assured is going to be a successful project. And that, I know, is not a guarantee in this world. So congratulations in advance.
Yeah, thank you. Very excited. Thanks a lot.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for listening to Flame On, a podcast made possible by Powder Milk Biscuits, the ones in the blue box, a comic shop, and the generous support of tops and bottoms like you. If you want to be one of our sugar daddies, you can help out by telling a cute single friend about us, reviewing us on iTunes, or putting some dollars down our digital G-string in our monthly support drive. For more ridiculously entertaining and socially enlightening episodes of Flame On, as well as other fine programs, head on over to nerdyshow.com. You can subscribe to Flame On and all Nerdy Show Network podcasts via iTunes. And be sure to find us on Twitter at Flame On Podcast or Facebook on our Flame On fan page. And make sure to check out flameonshow.com for more nerdy queer in your ear.